top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good evening. This is the Prime Evening News for today, Thursday, June 8th, 2023, and I'm your presenter, Jade George. In the headlines, Q95 Global View on Q, host Mr. Sheridan Gregoire highlights respect for constitution, rule of law, and good governance since under Premier Edward Oliver Libler, and calls for restoration via electoral and campaign finance reforms.
Q95DA.com.
Jamaica's Information Minister Robert Morgan emphasized improving visa-free access for Jamaican passport holders, addressing negative perceptions, and extending travel to known travelers. And the city of San Francisco in the United States experienced a 14.1% increase in drug-related deaths in the first 3 months of this year, with an average accidental overdose occurring every 10 hours. Right, the news is brought to you with the very kind compliments of West Indies Communications Enterprise. The details of these coming up next.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Sheridan Gregoire, host of the Global View on Q, emphasizes that the history of Dominica shows the respect for the Constitution and rule of law, with good governance since the era of Premier Edward Libler. However, he observes that there is an opportunity for restoration via electoral and campaign finance reforms, which is currently confronting Dominica. He believes that this issue is currently at the forefront of Dominica's political landscape, and with many political parties and civic organizations recognizing the need for these reforms.
You know, we have to look at the history, and you have to look at really what ought to obtain, because that was obtained in the past and it works much better. Yeah. It facilitated the democracy, but the constitution was respected, the rule of law was respected. So you had good governance. I mean, nobody can complain about governance under Edward Libler. I mean, how could you? You had good governance. Well, the point I'm making is this. When we look at all of what we're talking about, and we've been talking about that and talking about that for days and for months and for years, all these problems, there is an opportunity, because this thing called electoral reform and campaign finance reform, that is the thing that is facing every Dominican right now. I think the majority of people in all political parties, in all civic organizations, want electoral reform.
Sheridan Gregoire, host of the Global View on Q. During a Wednesday afternoon segment of Q95's Talk on the Block program, attorney Gabriel Christian asserted that Dominica is currently in a state of decline due to the lack of consideration among voters in terms of the identities and motivations of those they elect to positions of governmental authority. This pattern of inattention has resulted in the country's repeated descent into a condition of dishonor and ignominy.
We have a situation where we keep slipping down that slippery slope towards ignominy because of inattention to affairs by people who are voting without actually taking stock of why they're voting and for whom they're voting and what is the reputation of those persons who they're voting for. So there are consequences to our actions. And I hope that Dominicans at home and abroad can make one solid decision, and that is to make a change. We cannot keep doing the same thing and expect to get a different result. We've been doing that for 20 years. We've seen the result of it, a dong economy, lawlessness in foreign affairs, lawlessness in passport sales, you know, major contracts being tendered, not being tendered in the public, in a public fashion under the procurement rules of the country, breach of our financial laws. All those things, when taken together as a collective, speak very badly of us, and so we shouldn't be surprised your countries act to protect your national security. I'm hoping one day soon we can see a change and that Dominicans can have better governance so that we can live in a peaceful country where our reputations are not solid by the misdeeds of those who've been sold that prized possession of citizenship or national passport.
Meanwhile, in another capacity, Christian highlights a lack of prioritization, which is indicative of a larger issue within society. He says that the young people of today lack true knowledge of God due to their belief in money and materialism. He says that those in power have built mansions and claim to be pursuing construction of a $1.3 billion airport, but have failed to repair or replace a genuine public library in the country.
Not only do they not know God in the truest sense, because what they've given them is the God of Baal, the God of money, of things, of materialism, mansions on a hill where there's no public library. Listen to me carefully. There are several mansions that have been built within the past 10 years. They're building a $1.3 billion airport, my friends, by some mystery man from the Middle East, whose allies have engorged themselves with passport money and have hotels in their name. But they do not have in our country a public library that was donated since 1905, repaired with a roof.
In addition, he notes that prior governments prioritized education for the nation, but the current education curriculum lacks civics. Christian says that the library can educate people on responsibilities and greater civilizations, but there is a great misdirection, which seems to be leading to a drowning nation. Christian's observation about the current state of education is a valid concern in that it is true to prevent or prevent. In that it is true that previous governments have placed emphasis on education, but civics has been neglected in the current curriculum.
Thank you for the further illumination of the importance that prior governments saw in educating a nation. What we have now is the dumbing down of a nation. You cannot have mathematics and physics if you don't have civics, you know. Mathematics and physics mean nothing without civics. Because civics really pertain to how you run a society in a civilized manner. And so if you do not have a library where you can educate a nation in its responsibilities, where young boys and girls on a Saturday afternoon or in an evening can go and have interaction with the learned ones, with the books of great civilizations and great leaders, instead, you have a Pied Piper of misdirection leading our nation like rats to be drowned.
Attorney Gabriel Christian. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt says oceans connect people and transcend borders while extending wishes on World Oceans Day. He highlighted the significance of the ocean and asked people to combat pollution, overfishing, and climate change. Mr. Skerritt added that the oceans connect us, transcending borders, and remind us of our shared humanity. He invited the people to come and work for the welfare of the environment and oceans, saying, "Let's stand united in our resolve to combat pollution, overfishing, and climate change. Together we can create a bluer and brighter future." World Oceans Day 2023, with the theme "Tides Are Changing," celebrates the magnificent oceans, noting their vital role in sustaining life on Earth. World Oceans Day on June 8th highlights the global movement 30 by 30, which aims to safeguard at least 30% of the world's land, waters, and ocean by 2030. World Oceans Day is a reminder to reflect on the undeniable connection between the health of oceans and the well-being of the planet. The oceans provide food, energy, recreation, and transportation. They are also the home to some of the most diverse ecosystems on Earth. Unfortunately, human activities such as overfishing and pollution are putting these lifeblood at risk. Hence, the day is marked as a chance to introspect the conditions of the oceans and think of ways to mitigate all such problems. The World Oceans Day is also an initiative of the United Nations to save the natural reserve by reducing waste, recycling, and adopting sustainable practices. The blue ocean is a life source. It supports humanity and every other organism on Earth. The ocean is the lungs of the planet and a major source of food, medicine, and critical part of the biosphere. With over 50% of the planet's oxygen coming from it and most of Earth's biodiversity calling it their home, it's definitely worth protecting. 90% of big fish populations have become depleted, and 50% of coral reefs have been destroyed. Human beings are taking more from the ocean than can be replenished. Mrs. Jody Dublin Dangleband, president of the Dominica Herbal Association, explains how there are a few common toxic ingredients that people should pay special attention to in their products that they use. In light of the harmful ingredients in cosmetic and hair care products, she highlights that sulfates are one of the main ones that have been linked to cancer. Dangleband emphasizes that people need to familiarize themselves with the different scientific names and know what to look for. By doing so, individuals can make informed decisions about the products they use and reduce their exposure to potentially harmful chemicals.
So when we think about harmful ingredients in cosmetic products, in hair care, sulfates is one of the main ones that have been linked to cancer. They are common carcinogens. And sulfates are usually what we call surfactants. So anything that lathers, if we have a face wash, if we have shampoo, anything that lathers, the first ingredient would be aqua, water, and the second one would be some sort of sulfate. So we have to look for, maybe familiarize ourselves with the different names, scientific names of those ingredients, and know what to look out for. So like sodium lauryl sulfate, even in toothpaste, you find that in toothpaste as well, shampoos, some creams.
In addition to sulfate, she notes that there are many other ingredients commonly found in cosmetics and hair care products that can be harmful to our health. These include parabens, paraphthalates, and synthetic fragrances. She highlights how it is important to read labels carefully and choose products that are free from these harmful ingredients. Fortunately, there are many natural and organic alternatives available that can provide the same benefits without the risk of exposure to harmful chemicals. By taking a proactive approach to our personal care routines, she believes that we can protect our health and well-being while still looking and feeling our best.
Parabens have been linked to cancer. They're carcinogens as well. And a lot of research in women with breast cancer, when they actually did biopsies on the breast tissue, found parabens in there. So it's very important what we use and how what we put on our skin can eventually lead to even cancer and some other illnesses. And so we just have to be very aware. Another one that we should look for are fragrances. So you will see all the scientific names of all the different ingredients, but then you just see fragrance. And that is a way sometimes of not disclosing what is in the fragrance. And in those fragrances have all sorts of chemicals in there.
And that was Mrs. Jody Dublin Dangleband, president of the Dominica Herbal Association. The Dominica Garden Club's founder, Nurse Halima Thomas, remarks that when you look at the availability of raw materials in Dominica and what we have at our disposal, a good 75% of our needs can be met. This is an encouraging statement as it suggests that Dominica has the potential to become more self-sufficient in terms of its raw materials. With 75% of our needs already being met, it seems feasible that we could increase the percentage even further with some strategic planning and investment. This could have significant benefits for the economy and the environment, as we would be relying less on imports and reducing our carbon footprint. Of course, there are challenges to be overcome in terms of infrastructure and logistics, but Nurse Halima's comments suggest that there is a solid foundation to build upon. She emphasizes how we can make and grow a lot of our produce that we can use for ourselves and lessen importation.
When you look at the availability of raw material in Dominica, the availability of what we have at our disposal, it is very easy to make, I would say, a good 75% of our needs. We should be able to home grow them from oils with coconut oil, avocado oil. We can make that for ourselves. We can make, we can grow chickens for ourselves. We can have our own eggs. We can have our own beans, our potatoes. There's a lot of stuff we can grow.
She highlights that the things that we are restricted from growing within our terrain and ecosystem are not necessarily needed. Thomas adds that the generation is a living example of how the nation can be raised on organic products that allow for sustainable growth and development, leading to success in the outside world.
The stuff we cannot grow, we don't necessarily need it, because we are a living example. We, the Gen Xers, are an example of how we grew up on natural, almost 100% organic, and we thrived, and our brain worked at fantastic levels to where we left and we became so successful in the outside world.
Founder of the Dominica Garden Club, Nurse Halima Thomas. During the OECS Recycled Project's official launch ceremony on Wednesday, Mark Durbinet, the regional director of the agency of the Agence Francoise de Développement, expressed the financial institution's objective to support, accelerate, and finance a transition towards an equitable and environmentally conscious society. According to him, this aligns with France's pledge to achieve sustainable development goals.
I'm very glad to be here today for the official launch of the Recycle OECS project. As you may know, the French Development Agency is a public development bank that finances, supports, and quickens the shift to a more just and environmentally friendly society. By doing this, we support France's commitment to the Sustainable Development Goals. In the Caribbean, IFD outlines the goals and challenges shared by all of the territories in the basin, and with the help of its network of agencies, designs cooperation activities with the aim of pooling resources, limiting the spillover of unfavorable externalities from one territory to the next, and exchanging knowledge on issues of shared interest. IFD is working together with UNEP and the GIZ to implement the Zero Waste in the Caribbean program, which is funded by the European Union and implemented in partnership with CARIFORUM and the Organization of Eastern Caribbean States.
He further stated that the goal of the OECS Recycled Project is to reduce waste and increase recycling through the creation of an OECS model and the execution of two demonstration projects focused on plastic waste collection in two OECS nations.
Indeed, since 2008, IFD has been accredited to monitor EU dedicated funds and entrusted with over 3,000 projects in by the EU. Since then, representing a delegation of funds amounting nearly 3 billion euros. With the Recycles OECS project, we aim to minimize waste and maximize recycling by developing a theoretical OECS model and implementing two demonstration projects of plastic waste collection and treatment in two OECS member states that Mr. Chamberlain Emmanuel will announce imminently. The project also intends to develop public policy dialogues and public awareness on waste management, plastic pollution, environmental and health risks enhanced at a regional level. IFD would like to thank the European Union for this program initiative and its renewed trust towards our institution, as well as the OECS for our fruitful collaboration and the start of what we will be, I believe, a high-impact project for the Caribbean region.
And in other news this evening, Jamaica's Information Minister, Robert Morgan, emphasized the government's commitment to improving visa-free access for Jamaican passport holders. He urged contextualizing the decision to restrict Jamaican passport holders, which may be related to a negative perception of nationals. The visa-free travel has been extended to known nationals from Antigua and Barbuda, St. Lucia, Trinidad and Tobago, St. Kitts, Nevis, Panama, Argentina, Costa Rica, Uruguay, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Thailand and the Philippines. A known traveler is someone who holds a Canadian visa, obtained one over the last 10 years, or a valid United States visa.
Whenever these things happen, we have to contextualize them. This government will continue to work to advocate on behalf of our citizens to find ways for ease of travel across the world. So I just want to, and I wish you would look at some of the criteria for persons who are going to benefit in these countries.
And drug-related deaths surged by 41% in San Francisco in the first 3 months of this year, with an average of one person dying of an accidental overdose every 10 hours. The drug-ravaged Tenderloin district is worst affected. Sky's Martha Kenler has witnessed people strewn on the doorstep of San Francisco's main government building, contorted by the effects of fentanyl, a painkiller 100 times more potent than morphine.
It's a normal afternoon on the doorstep of San Francisco's main government building, a snapshot of America's fentanyl crisis. It doesn't just look stark. An average of one person every 10 hours dies in this city of a fentanyl overdose. It's often here in the drug-ravaged Tenderloin district.
Are you a fentanyl user?
Absolutely. I've been an opiate addict for probably 10 years.
Trevor used to inject heroin, but fentanyl, he says, is a different beast, and he wants everyone to know.
I mean, the fact that this isn't a main issue, I mean, on TV every night is insane to us. I've never seen anything like it. I meet regular people, Square Joes, on their way to work, and they'll stop, hang out with me, try this drug for the first time, and then leave their life. Literally, not leave. From that moment on, they're just out here with us.
Is that what fentanyl does?
To some people, it's insane. I've never seen anything like it. No one has.
What's it doing to the streets?
Man, I mean, it's turning everybody into, you know, a crazy, violent drug addict.
We're doing an interview.
I know, but do that somewhere else. Y'all smoking crack right here, and there's a daycare right there.
We're interrupted by private security, asking them to move out of the view of a nursery. This is a city divided on how to deal with the scourge of drugs. Some want the streets swept. Others prefer a more compassionate, health-based approach.
No one wants to end up with a manslaughter charge because someone dies from their product.
Jeff is a former drug dealer and says testing is the answer.
Two stripes would be a negative result. One stripe would be a positive result. Yep. So there's that second line showing up right now.
Simple strip tests are now being used by dealers and users to check for fentanyl. It sometimes contaminates other drug supplies like cocaine.
I know you work with one of the largest Mexican street gangs helping test their cocaine to make sure it doesn't have fentanyl in it or traces of fentanyl in it. How does that work?
If customers start to notice that people are dying from a batch of cocaine and that the autopsy results are showing that it's because of an opioid overdose, no one's buying that cocaine anymore. I mean, it just doesn't make financial sense to kill your customers.
And that's the Prime Evening News, but first here's a recap of the headlines. Q95's Global View on Q host Mr. Sheridan Gregoire highlights respect for constitution, rule of law and good governance since under Premier Edward Oliver LeBlanc, and calls for restoration via electoral and campaign finance reforms. Jamaica's Information Minister Robert Morgan emphasized improving visa-free access for Jamaican passport holders, addressing negative perceptions and extending travel to known travelers. And the city of San Francisco in the United States experienced a 41% increase in drug-related deaths in the first 3 months of this year, with an average accidental overdose occurring every 10 hours. The Prime Evening News was brought to you with the very kind compliments of West Indies Communications Enterprise, and I have been your presenter, Jade George.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q.